Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
This week I had one of those moments that every dad is waiting for. If you are a girl dad and you've got daughters, you love it when they call out to you and ask for help. If you were here last weekend, Pastor Luke talked about when his oldest daughter lost her special toy called Bun Buns. We had a special toy. His name was Teddy. His name was Bruce the Bear. I wanted to give him a tougher name like TEDx or something like that, but we went with Bruce the Bear, so we stuck there. But now our daughters are a little bit older. I'm just waiting for the day when they would call on my help and I could come in and rescue them from any given situation. And Thursday, I was sitting over in my office preparing this message, actually, and my middle daughter is 20 years old. She is driving now. She called me in absolute tears. She's like, "Dad, you got to come and save me." I want that to be really clear to her boyfriend who's walking in kids right now. She called her dad, not her boyfriend. Because who's stronger and who's better? Sam, remember that. Dirtbag. So, if you go and pick up your kids from kids, just remind Sam Williams down there that his girlfriend called her dad, not the boyfriend. Just remember that. Underline it. And I'm holding on to it. So anyway, back to the story. She calls me, she's like, "Dad, you got to come and save me." I'm like, "Where are you?" I'm there. Like, I felt this Superman rise on the inside of me. Felt stronger than I've felt in years. I'm 48 years old. I felt 25 years old again. I'm like, "Let me at him." I get to the petrol station where my daughter has been filling up her car. And she said, "Dad, I don't know what's happening. It normally costs me $60 to fill my car up. It was half a tank. I got to $75. And then the guy behind me started to yell at me because there was petrol pouring out of the bottom of my car. And I was really worried and I was asked him to help. And he said, 'Get away from the car. It's going to explode. It's going to blow up.' I'm like, 'Babe, petrol doesn't just blow up. You're okay.' And she's like, and then he said to me, 'If you're going to start the car, then I don't have time for this. Let me out of here so it blows up without me here.'" And she's a 20-year-old girl, has no idea. I've failed as a dad in that area. I didn't teach her what to do when petrol poured out the bottom of your car. We get it back here. We have a look underneath the car. Someone had literally cut her fuel line to try and, I'm only assuming, siphon fuel out of her tank. But the one line that stuck out to me was this guy who said, "I don't have time for this." And I think in life there is a big difference between a want to and an able to. And that big difference is often the difference of margin. And I reckon in a year of come follow me, where we are committed to following Jesus and we're committed to helping others follow Jesus, I don't think that a whole lot of us don't want to be generous with our time or generous with our gifts or generous with our resource. Or we don't, it's not like we sit there and we're like, "Well, I don't want to do that." It's not a want to issue, it's an able issue. And the question I have in November as we look towards December and next year is, do we have margin to do what God is asking us to do? Do we have the space to be able to invest our lives into others? Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. It's the difference between what I have and what I need. And I wonder, to give this guy the benefit of the doubt so I don't punch him in his throat if I see him again, I wonder if this guy just had no margin. Was he going to his own emergency? Had he filled his calendar up so much? Was he on his way to a job interview? What was going on in his world that he couldn't stop and help a 20-year-old girl in distress that would take 5 minutes, but his response was, "I don't have time for this"? Because margin isn't a buzzword, it's not a management tool. Margin is a God idea. And it's been his idea from the beginning. Public confession: I'm a work in progress when it comes to this. Some areas of my life, I feel like we've got this down pat. We've gone on a journey. We read God, Money, and Me, and we feel like we have implemented some of the principles of God, Money, and Me, and now have some margin to be able to be generous there. Two years ago, I had a bunch of stuff going in our world and got to the end of the year where we had no emotional margin. This year, Amanda and I have worked on what does it look like to have some emotional margin to work. My calendar is still a whip. It's still a work in progress. So I'm not up here as an expert. I'm saying, would we all go on the journey of finding margin in our world so that we can both get from God and give to others what God wants to flow from us. Leviticus 23 verse 22 says this, when you reap the harvest from your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you go gather any gleaning from the harvest. You shall leave them from the poor or for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Back then, they used to have fields and they would plant the field with some kind of produce. And at harvest season, the workers would go out and they would either use machinery or by hand, they would harvest the field. And God says, if you've got a field, just leave the corners of the field. Don't go right to the edge of all your field and take everything, but leave some margin in your world for others to eat from. And I wonder today, as we look at our calendar for 2024, as we look at our priorities for 2024, as we look at this season that's coming up, is there edges on the field of our life that God could use as nourishment for someone else? Deuteronomy 24 verse 19, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf, forget one fruit, one berry in the field, you shall not go back and get it. That shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. I don't believe it's God's plan for us to live so full, so stretched, so at capacity, whether it be emotionally, whether it be with our gifts, whether it be with our calendar, whether it be with our thinking, that we were to live so full that there is no room for anyone else to be blessed through what God is doing in our life. But we should live a life committed to creating margin around the edges, because here's the deal, our margin is someone else's miracle. Our margin is the answer to someone else's prayer. Our margin is Jesus with skin on for someone who is believing God for him to show up, and we come into their world with space around the edges and say, let me take what some of God has done in me and make it available to you so that you don't look at me, but you look through me to the God who wants to do the same thing in your world. There is a big difference between a snapshot and a movie. If you were to look at my calendar at the moment, you would be like, you're a hypocrite. It's a snapshot. If I were to go into anyone's world and take a snapshot of someone's life, I could accuse them of being angry, judgmental, disrespectful. But maybe they're just having a bad moment and that's a snapshot. But the movie of their life is they are gracious, they are giving, they are generous, they are. So I'm not here to say be guilty if in this moment you have no margin. But let's be sure that the season is exactly that, a season. I think the most overused word in Christendom is it's just a season. How you doing? Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, cool. Well, what's going on? It's just a season. Dude, you've been saying that for 17 years. That's no longer a season. That's a lifestyle. How you going? Marriage is struggling. Oh man, I'm praying for it. How long has it been going on for? A decade? That's not a season. We need to address some things to get out of the season and make sure that the movie of our life is different than the snapshot of the moment. Let me give you the definition of a season. A season has an end date. No farmer goes into calving season without knowing that you're not going to see me until the 30th of August, because I'm going to be pulling calves out and I'm going to be making sure those calves are okay. But they know on the 30th of August, they're going to emerge again and you're going to get them back again. Friend, can I encourage you, if you've been full and haven't been able to do anything and you've had no edges for decades, that's not a season. That's a lifestyle. And maybe God wants to, at the end of 2023, to set us up for 2024, nudge us to make some differences so that we can live with margin, because other people's miracles are in the margin of our life. And we are here as a church to be an answer to our city, to be an answer to our workplace, to lift up the name of Jesus. And sometimes that comes through the margins of our life. Margins are where the miracles happen. I love the story of Ruth in the Bible. For those of you who haven't heard the story, let me give you a quick synopsis. There was a famine in the land, and there was a family that moved to a neighboring country of Moab. Now, Moab was not the country you want to be from. Moab originated from some poor decisions of a people way back, and that kind of fed through the lineage of, it just didn't have great stuff in its foundation. So this Israelite family pick up from where they are because of famine, and they move to the country of Moab. And after being there, the sons of the family that had moved there married Moabite women. When they had married Moabite women, they were getting about life, and tragedy happens. The Israelite family that had moved to Moab, the father and the brothers died, leaving a mum with daughter-in-laws who were Moabite women. The mum hears that back in my homeland, the famine is broken, and in those days, you were provided for, if you were a female, particularly a matriarch, you were provided for by your husband. If your husband passed away, then your sons would provide for you. They were the answer to your need. So the mum decides that I'm going to go back home, and maybe one of my other family, my extended family, would take me on. And if I go back there, because no one here, I don't have any family, my husband and my sons have died, it's just me and my daughters-in-law, I'm going to go back home. And with tears, she says to her daughters-in-law, why don't you go back to your family, because you're from here. Ruth stands up and says, I'm going nowhere. Where you go, I will go. Where you are, your family is my family. God has knit us together. God, give us a people in the 21st century who know the power of family and relationship and together, and don't run when times are tough, but we stick it out. So Ruth goes with her mother-in-law back to the homeland, but they have no way to survive. They have no way to get their provision, other than what we heard about, where they would glean from the field of people who obeyed God. This gleaning, this leaving margin on the edges, was the Old Testament form of the benefit. It's how people who had no other income would survive. So if we read the story of Ruth, we can learn a few things about what it is to live with margin. Number one, margins provide protection. Ruth was a foreigner. She was a widow. She was a woman. She was the most vulnerable of the vulnerable. And in Ruth 2 verse 8, there was a wealthy man by the name of Boaz. And then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean from another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women and glean from my fields. Boaz used his margin to create protection for someone in need. You know that God wants to use your margin to create protection for those who are in need. I wonder what it would look like if Boaz had have lived right to the edges of his life, and then Ruth came along and God knocked on his heart and said, hey, would you provide for her? And his answer would have been, but I've got nothing left. I've used it all up. Sounds like me in certain seasons of my life where I'm like, God, don't ask me to do another thing. I've got nothing left. But if we were to live a lifestyle that had margin around the edges, I wonder what God would do in and through us to make a difference in someone else. Do we have enough shelter for someone else to get shade in the tree of our life so that they can move on to all that God has? Margins can be physical. They can be emotional. Guys, come on up. I've asked three guys to come and help me. Jogging, 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 jogging. You know, there are many areas of our life that we need margin. There's emotional margin. There's time margin. There's relational margin. And every one of us have capacity for so much. But in life, we begin to fill our areas of our life with stuff. Don't blow too hard, guys, because any of you scared of balloons? Okay, good. But we begin to fill, and when if we don't have much, keep it up to your mouth, bro. If we don't have margin, look, storms will come. Hello, storms will come. Stuff will happen. And God, who lives outside of time, wants us to have relational or emotional margin to deal with it. Financial margin, slow down, bro. Financial margin to deal with it. And time margin to deal with it. But we live in a 21st century world where it doesn't take much for a storm to come along and we blow up. Have you ever lived on the edge? Jono's a Christian. He's got margin. You guys are ruining my illustration. It's supposed to be a moment. Get out. Go. It's supposed to be a God moment. You guys need a Brucey bear to bring up here and hold on to. And I'm trying to put my needle away so I don't stab myself. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've exploded. And the people that pay the biggest price are those closest to me. It's my wife, it's my kids, and it's the team who I have the absolute honor of serving alongside to see the church built. And the answer and the cause of my explosion was none of them, but my inability to live with margin. And I wonder if God wants to speak to some of us about, hey, you know what, you're too stretched in that area. You've put too much in. Now I understand for some of us it's going to be an unwinding and it's going to be a process to create margin. But what if the Holy Spirit was to say, can I use some of what you've filled to be protection for someone else? Because margins provide protection. Number two, margins provide provision. Margins provide provision. When Amanda and I first moved to New Zealand, in fact, Amanda's parents have just moved into the same city that we live in. In fact, they've moved onto our site, but that's a different story. Amanda's parents have just moved into the same city. This first time in 25 years we have ever lived in the same city as parents. So for 25 years, we have navigated parenthood with no, our parenthood with no parental help around. There was this amazing couple who came to us when I think about 2 years before Judah was born. He's now 13, 2 years before Judah was born. And said, we feel like God has asked us to help you with your kids. That's our call. For 10 years, this couple would turn up at our house at 6:30 every morning on a Sunday morning, get our kids ready while we came to church, because often I was at a different campus, Amanda was at a campus, we would go, they would get the kids ready, they'd bring them to church, we would hang out with them in between services, they would take them home, they would get them lunch, we would get home, We would often hang out with them for the afternoon and then come back to church at night. And for 10 years, I think I can count on two hands how many Sundays they missed. Because a couple had some margin and said, God, what do you want us to do with it? We would not have been able to do what we have done over that period of time. I don't know how many times Amanda led worship. I don't know how many times I had the honor of praying with someone or journeying with someone. Or that was released not through just what we did, but through this couple saying, God, here's some margin. I'm going to give it to you. Would you do what you want with it? Their margin became provision not only for us, but every person who we were able to minister to on a Sunday. They were part of that bigger story. Can I tell you that the margin you have can become the provision for someone else? Corrie Ten Boom, if you've ever read Corrie Ten Boom's story, they were a family that would help Jewish people in the Netherlands in World War II escape the Nazis who were coming to hunt them down. If you read Corrie Ten Boom's story, they had a little house, and in their house, they built a what they called a hiding place in their closet, and they would have Jewish families come into their house, and when the raids would come, they would hide the Jewish family in their closet. And history says that you cannot count the amount of families that the Ten Boom family used their margin to help get them through a time of crisis. I wonder, friend, if God wants to use you and I to create a hiding place for someone else so that we can shelter them from the storm, and we can, through God, become provision for them to move forward. If God requested or prompted, would I have the margin to say yes? Or would I be like my friend at the gas station and say, I don't have time for this. Let me get on with life. And I just wonder whether towards the end of the year, God wants to pause and say, would you create some margin? Would you create some room for me to both perform miracles in you and through you? Team, come on back. Number three, margin provides space to change trajectory. I love the story. Hope I'm not telling it out of turn. If I am, I love the story of Pastor Paul and Marie in Italy. I think it was about 2015. They rented this car and they were driving through the streets of Italy. And as Pastor Paul was going down a laneway, he was realizing that the laneway was getting more narrow and narrow and narrow because he wasn't on a road, he was on a footpath. To the point where it got so tight, he couldn't turn around. He had to reverse out. Like, you couldn't open a door, couldn't get through a sunroof because there was umbrellas coming out because you're in the middle of a cafe. Like, you are done. I wonder if our life feels a bit like that. But God says, hey, would you turn around and go a different direction? I can't. I've got no margin. Look, would you make this change? Would you make this adjustment? I can't. I can't even think of it. There's been times in the last 24 months where Amanda has asked me a question and my response has been, I don't have the space to think about that. Maybe that's a red flag. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit saying, you need more margin. To actually have the space to do a three-point turn and go a different direction, if the Holy Spirit were to tap you on the shoulder, is there margin to do that? Last scripture, and then we're going to worship God. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, who was her mother-in-law, praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Naomi then took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son. They named him Obed. Here's the part. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David, who was in the lineage of Jesus. I wonder today if God wants to use our margin to get us back on track with the plan and the purpose that God has for our life. To not just have a career, not just have a job, not just fill our lives with stuff, but say, God, what I fill my life with, would it be in the lineage of what you have with my life? Would it be in the vein of your plan and your purpose? Would you use every moment for me to have margin, not just for my world, but for those in my world, for it to be protection for them, provision for them? And God, would I live with a sense that I've got enough room to make a three-point turn when you tap me on the shoulder and go in a different direction? Would we stand to our feet all over this building? I'd love for us just to take a moment or two and make room, literally make room. Say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Holy Spirit, is there an area of my life that I need to work on to create some margin? God, is there an area of my life that you want to use to become protection or provision for someone else? Do I need to create room to be able to turn and shift when you tap your shoulder? Holy Spirit, here I am. Let me live with margin like Boaz that can become the answer to someone else. Come on, if that's you, you say, here I am. Would you lift your hands all over this building? I've got my hands lifted. Say, Holy Spirit, I need a moment with you. Would you speak to me at the end of a busy year as I look to the next year? Holy Spirit, would you help me prioritize? Would you help me to adjust? Would you help me to shift some things so that I have margin for you? God, would we be a church in every local, in this room? Would we be a church that has margin for the miracles you want to do for us and through us? We make room to listen to you, to lean into you. Holy Spirit, have your way. We open our hearts, we open our minds. Do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, here we are. Come on, church, let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.